The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. Now on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM, this is Bears Insider with Bears head coach Lovie Smith, his coaching staff, and the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak. Brought to you by McDonald's and sponsored by North Shore University Health System and Walgreens.
Back after a four-day break, the Bears started preparations for next Monday night's NFC North Division battle with the Detroit Lions today. They do so with sole possession of first, despite getting Sunday off. We'll talk about that and more coming up on Bears Insider, featuring the head coach, Lovie Smith, and a visit with quarterbacks coach Jeremy Bates. But first, these messages on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM.
It's good for us, and I think we can really show a lot of people how good we are and come out and, two-game swing would be great.
Bears Insider with head coach Lovie Smith continues. Now, here's the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak.
And good evening, everybody, and welcome back into Bears Insider with the head coach, Lovie Smith, here at Hallis Hall with you until 8 o'clock tonight. After the bye week, the Bears moved into first place, sole possession of first place in the NFC North. They maintain a 4-1 record. The Minnesota Vikings, a loser yesterday. They dropped to 4-2, so a half-game lead. Coming up in a couple of segments from now, we'll be joined by Bears quarterback coach Jeremy Bates as well. We welcome in the head coach, Lovie Smith. Good weekend. You know, put your feet up, relax a little bit, and bam, you get into first place.
Not exactly, but it was a lot of fun this week just being a football fan and watched a lot of great games.
Anything pique your curiosity among the games? I know you do enjoy doing that if you have the time to do it, whether it be high school, college, or pro, but you're always looking for little things that could help the team, yourself, or anybody.
Yes, and, I was able to watch college games, so you're always looking for the next crop of, good players coming into the league, but it still came down to Sunday, and I thought the NFC North held their own, played pretty good football.
Well, it just emphasizes once again how every single game, but division games, you look across the league and whatever division games they were, just all the games, you have to play, like you mentioned earlier today, and I was going to bring this up regardless, you got to play a full 60, and maybe then some. And a team like the Lions, which we'll break down later on tonight, but, with that quarterback and that receiver, they're always in a game. I mean, they could just throw it up there and see what happens. So you got to play 60, and you saw it week in and week out. You saw it in and game out yesterday.
Yeah, we talk a lot, Jeff, about starting fast, and that's important. But I just think it's more important on how you finish, because it seemed like most games in an NFL end up coming down on to who can, play their best football at the end of the game. And Detroit was a perfect example. I think they were down by 10 points twice in the fourth quarter, but found a way to win.
And I'm certain you saw how the turnover and the takeaway factor into these games, and they did again yesterday.
Yeah, that's not going to change. You know how much of an emphasis we place on, ball security on the offensive side and taking the ball away on the defensive side. And then yesterday I saw and of course we knew this anyway, just how dumb penalties can hurt you also.
Yeah, there were plenty of those. I mean, the Lions committed more penalties yesterday than any team has this season so far. I don't know what the total number was, but it was in the mid-teens, which is entirely too many, and you're very lucky to win games like that.
Yeah, that's what you have to say. You're lucky because normally, of course, if you're turning the ball over and you're making, bad decisions as far as penalties are concerned, you're going to lose the game.
All right, in terms of your team, getting them back on the practice field today, injury news, good news for Earl Bennett. He says there's no pain in his hand. He feels he's like ready to go.
Yes, Earl. And we knew that, we're holding him out that last game that he should be good to go. At the end, but Earl had a good practice today, and we need him now with Alshon being out a while.
Yeah, and the roster change, the release today of running back Khalil Bell, and you bring in another tight end, so that gives you four. Is that is there a reason for that? Is it still the question of Evan Rodriguez, or you just wanted this particular player?
No, we're always looking to improve, and I've made that statement, and we're always looking to improve our roster with personnel. Khalil Bell did a lot of good things for us. But the tight end position, and especially bringing Brody in here, we just felt like would help our team.
He's a big guy who says he can play fullback at 6'5", 265.
Yeah, he's got some size, and he can do a few things. Of course, he could, play in the back, as a fullback, as he said. But He's also a good just inline tight end that can block.
Now, more of the Bears Insider with head coach Lovie Smith on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM.
First and goal at the 3, Bennett and Mara, Jeffrey to the left. Snap, Jay looking right, open, touchdown! Touchdown, Bears! And the first touchdown for Brandon Marshall. Bears uniform from Jay Cutler. Bears have the lead.
And that happened in the Indianapolis Colts game. That is the play of the week brought to you by McDonald's, proud partner of the Chicago Bears. Welcome back into Bears Insider from Hallis Hall with you until 8 o'clock tonight. Bears head coach Lovie Smith and Jeff Joniak with you. And coming up on our next segment, it'll be Bears quarterback coach Jeremy Bates. So the impact, and we've discussed it plenty, with a lot of time to discuss now, just what's going on with the football team and not having a game for 15 days between games. But Brandon Marshall, as you had a chance to sit back and do some self-scouting, what'd you learn? Anything? Anything new? Anything that's impactful, especially with the way he's being used?
No, I can't say anything new, Jeff. I mean, going in, we knew he was a good football player, and we knew we had to find ways to get him the football. And if we're getting him the ball, that's normally good news for the Bears. And that's what was confirmed as we went back and self-evaluated ourselves.
Here's the beauty. You like this team coming into the season. You loved it during training camp. You like where it sits now. And you say the arrow is pointing in the right direction moving forward in the final 11 games. Everybody's got things they want to see better or improvement. Are there any pressing issues, in your opinion?
Now, I'm just going to say all of our play. You just want to make improvements on it. And just keep in mind, we played 5 games. There's so much football left to go. We like the position we're in, but everything will be decided later on. And for us, we want it to be healthy. And then, as you just mentioned, the arrow pointing in the right direction, and that's where we are.
Because of the way the league is and things can change on the diamond, one team can get hot with a couple of wins. One team can feel like they've got no chance with 3 straight losses in a row. But, bam, one good game, and everybody's feeling better. That's why when people look at schedules and they want to project, okay, the Bears should be 7-1 after 8 games, you can't do that in this game.
No, you can't at all. I think if you want to look at what numbers mean, right now, I think Atlanta has 6 wins. What will 6 wins get you? 6-10 won't get you anywhere. So nothing has been decided. As much as anything, as a team, you want to just get on a roll and then start, stringing together wins. And that's why for us to have an opportunity to get this 4th win is important.
And there's also so much discussion, even among coaches, when you hear them answer questions over the course of the week and back to training camp, about the identity of a team. Do you have a clearer idea of what the identity is going to be with this team, or is it still yet to be determined moving forward?
No, I think we know. No, I think. I know we know what we want to be and what our identity is. Special teams, plays that make a difference. We want our special teams to impact every game. Offensively, we want to be able to we want to get off the bus running the ball, but after we get off of that bus, we want to be able to pass the ball also. We want to have balance on the offensive side. And then defensively, it's not about yards and things like that. It's about taking the ball away, and it's about scoring.
And the Bears certainly have done that. 5 touchdowns defensively allowed and 5 touchdowns scored in the last 3 games. Great stat by, I think it was Mark Potash, about the differential, scoring differential, number 1 in the league. When you throw in the defensive touchdowns that you've scored, your defense is really allowed only like 30-something points. Nobody's even close to that. It's like 4.4 points per game. The next closest team, about 10 points per game based on that, because not everybody scores defensive touchdowns. But, boy, that puts your team in a great position. It just elevates everybody scoring a defensive touchdown.
Yeah, it does. And after you see someone else score, you want to. And all the guys know how important that is, and they know that it leads to wins at the end of the game.
I keep joking with you, though, because, you keep asking for those takeaways. You ask, but that includes the fumble recoveries now. Just because you knock it out, it's not good enough.
No. I mean, it's just like, on the offensive side, having a long pass or a long run. No, it's about getting the ball in the end zone. And right now you talked about how many points we've held opponents to. I mean, it's the same thing on the other side of the ball. We're scoring a lot of points as a football team, and that's why we're 4-1.
All right. You love the NBA. You're a Bulls season ticket holder, if I'm not mistaken. So you love when a team goes on a run, a 12-0 run. They're running the floor. They're dunking the basketball. Or you watch a baseball game and a team steps up with a 2-out grand slam homer, turns the tide of the game. What's your favorite football play then? What's the play, in your opinion, the type of play that gets you most excited? You feel that that is a game changer.
Too many. Yeah.
Come on.
If you want to talk special teams, I mean, it's pretty obvious, you know, a big return. But I also get a thrill out of seeing our kickoff team run down and get a takeaway, strip the ball away from the returner. On the offensive side of the ball, a great run. And I've seen Matt Forte. I have a lot of special plays that Matt Forte has done, has run since he's been here. And, you know, Jay Cutler throwing the ball to Brandon Marshall or any of the other receivers, those are all favors. And then defensively, you know, there's a lot of things you can say, but scoring.
Yeah, I love I'm going to say it. Corner blitz, hit the quarterback, sack him, strip, scoop, and score. The four S's.
All of those are favorites. I mean, and we like to see all of those, believe me.
Bears Insider continues with head coach Lovie Smith. Joined this week by quarterbacks coach Jeremy Bates. Bears Insider on the home of the Bears. News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. WBBM.
It's real big. Every team in our division is capable of winning it, and we got to continue to go out and do our job, and that's execute every play that the coach gives to us. So, you know, we just look forward to coming out Monday night, starting fast and finish strong.
That is Bears wide receiver Earl Bennett, back and ready to go. Hand injury all healed up, says there's no pain, and so he should be on the field when the Bears meet the Lions at Soldier Field a week from tonight. Right now we're in Bears Insider featuring head coach Lovie Smith with you until 8 o'clock tonight, and kind enough to join us tonight for the first time on this show, the Bears first-year quarterback coach Jeremy Bates. Thanks for joining us. By no means, though, are you an NFL rookie. Quite a resume, a lot of stops. We've talked about that before, just how many places you've been, not only in the college game, but the NFL game. And just what's your experience been like here in Chicago with a franchise so rich in tradition like this?
Well, first of all, you can't say enough about the fans. And, you know, the support that they bring on Sunday or on this Monday, it's the electric, the energy, it's nothing like I've experienced ever before. And look forward to playing at Soldier Field and putting on a show.
The interesting thing is often you ask coaches that question, in particular coaches. I think players thrive off of that, but you're not certain that coaches thrive off of that because it's such a focus on game day and on that sideline. But you're saying you can feel it.
Well, the history when you just walk into the stadium and then just the support that, you know, the Chicago fan base has, and it means something to them. You know, they take it personal just like we do and the players do. So, you know, you want to give the best effort and put on the best show you can for them, and they truly appreciate it. And at the end of the day, you know, I walk back from the stadium to the hotel, and it's fun to see the fans after a victory.
And you hear it when they don't like it too, but you can respect it, right?
Yeah, it's the business that we chose, and it's a great business. When, you know, there's not many professions where it's either the greatest job or the worst job, and I mean by that when you win, the whole building, the whole community, the whole town is electric, is on fire, and when you lose, you know, it's you got to get back to work and grind for another 7 days.
Well, for many people, it makes or break a week. And, you know, and in this town, a lunch bucket town, a blue-collar town in many respects, because of the history of this team, it's so ingrained in everybody's lives that, yeah, they take it hard. And you've been to places like that. I mean, you are in a football family. That has been your life, basically.
Yeah, you know, I've always said that every meal, every house has been through football, the game of football. My dad is a football coach my whole life, so you know, I give everything to the game, and, you know, it's treated our family well. But at the same time, you learn a lot about, you know, yourself. There's a lot of moves. There's ups and downs, but it builds character, and you just got to keep working your way through it.
Is there any other way to describe you other than a football junkie?
I don't know. I try not to describe myself. I just try to.
But you truly do love the game, and it you walk around with an intensity about this game.
You know, it's a serious job, and you know, we as coaches, we work long hours, and that's the nature of the business. And you know, we got to put a plan together that the players can see and can visualize and see themselves execute on Sunday and feel good about it. And you know, there's a lot of work, and each week's different, and that's what's incredible about the NFL. Every week you play a new defense, a new system, so it's not like you're just kind of going through week after week after week. You have to come back on Monday and flush out a little bit of last week and the week before and start all over. So it's a chess match each week, but yeah, I wouldn't do anything else.
It's not an etch-a-sketch, and what I mean by that is the playbook. I mean, but you do have to add and subtract, don't you, week by week?
You do. You have to look at your opponent. You got to look at their strengths and weaknesses. You got to study tendencies, and you know, the computer age has really changed it. You can watch every game from this year, last year, the year before. So there's so much information, and you know, you just got to put it together. You got to you know, put a game plan where, you know, it's we can execute, we can play fast, and still be productive.
Because of how you started and what you coached, and you've coached, I believe, almost every position, even offensive line in some capacity, are you, when the game ends, are you already on to the next game, or maybe even had done some of that thinking ahead, or do you have to focus everything in your power on the game at hand?
Even like a lot of coaches I know on Monday nights, they start maybe Sunday or Monday, but me personally, you know, maybe I'm just not that smart or something, but, you know, you work 6 or 7 days for one game, and you're giving all your effort to that. So for me personally, I don't want to confuse my mind or see another defense prior to going to that game. So I wait till, you know, the game's over to move on, because, you know, every game's important, and the most important game is this one.
Am I right? Have you coached almost every position on the offensive side of the ball?
Haven't been with the running backs, and really as an offensive line, I was just kind of watching Rick Dennison coach the offensive line and learning, but it was probably one of the best years of learning and seeing how the game is played in the trenches and where games are really won and lost by the offensive line.
And for those of you who don't know, Rick Dennison was the Denver Broncos offensive line coach. But and tell me why it was such a learning experience. I mean, every little nuance for that front five is significant to any play success or failure.
Well, just as a quarterback, you kind of go through, you know, the game of life looking at it from the sideline copy, if you will, where you're just looking at, you know, the coverages and how to execute the passing game. And then when you actually sit down and listen to the offensive lineman, it's a totally different game. And I'd actually advise, you know, fans to just watch the front five for a whole game. And it's a work of art. And when they execute well, I mean, it's five guys moving in the same direction and the same tempo. And that's when games are won. And it just kind of broke it down where, hey, it's not so simple where you can just say, hey, block them up. It's five guys being, you know, together. And man, it's fun to watch those guys work.
It's always going to be bad blood, just the fact that we're Chicago and they're Detroit, and they're in our division, and we know we got to go through one another to kind of get to the, you know, that championship that we need to get to. So it's always going to be bad blood with them, Minnesota and Green Bay. So it's nothing different.
This is Bears Insider with Bears head coach Lovie Smith and quarterbacks coach Jeremy Bates. Brought to you by McDonald's and sponsored by University of Phoenix and Verizon. Once again, the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak.
That was Tim Jennings bringing us out of break. The Bears cornerback with an outstanding first five games, talking about the tight NFC North. Hey, you can ask a Bears question in the Toyota Fan Zone. Tweet any Bears-related question using the hashtag BearsToyota, and it might be answered by myself or Tom Thayer during the Bears Game Night Live broadcast Sunday nights on Fox Chicago. If the selected question belongs to you, you receive a Bears Pro Shop gift card, so use the hashtag BearsToyota. Welcome back into Bears Insider with the head coach, Lovie Smith, and Bears quarterback coach Jeremy Bates at 7:34 on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM WBBM. All right, let's talk what's gone on so far with this club offensively, and certainly the 500-yard output is great. Points are better, obviously. The yards come with that. The running game started to pop. A lot of great things with that great second half in Jacksonville with Jay Cutler and Brandon Marshall showing what they can do and do best.
Yeah, you know, we keep getting better, and, you know, that's our first mission as far as the quarterback room is to win the football game. And no matter how we do it, and you know, at the end of the day, go win, and that's the most important thing. Then we come back the next day and make our corrections, and we just got to keep staying positive and getting better. I mean, it's a 16-week season that, you know, as long as we improve every week, we're gonna be where we want to be. I think you can never get satisfied in this business, and we're still young as far as the offensive system. Not to make it an excuse, but, you know, Jay's been with Coach Turner, Coach Martz, and now Coach Tice. So they're still getting to know each other. And, you know, over time, you just keep building. You know, I related a lot to my first year in Tampa with John Gruden, where we just kept working. We had a great defense. We just kept working and finding ways to win football games. And then when the playoffs hit and later on in the season, the offense just struck, hit a stride where we couldn't be stopped. And, of course, we want to go out there and be at our best every week, and that's our goal.
Yeah, to me, it's one of the most underrated aspects of successful offensive football is the system and how long everybody's together. Yeah, there's going to be changes every year, but when the system and the language and all that stays repetitive and you keep running those plays day after day for year after year, it's inevitable. You should become successful, but to expect it to take root right away is really asking a lot. Now, you can still win, but there's still going to be things you'd like to see different.
Well, I think it's like anything in life, including friendships, marriage. You know, the longer
we don't want to go to marriage, do we?
But the longer you're with somebody, you can read their eye contact. You understand what they're thinking, and that's what we're trying to get to offensively, where all 11 are on the same page without even communicating. And you know, it takes time. You know, it takes reps and practice and more practice and games and looking at the film and understand that we're not going to be perfect. But at the same time, we got to come show up on the field, execute the best we can, and at the end of the day, try to get a win.
You know, what's interesting is that when you blend systems, and yes, they say that virtually everything has been put together in football's history, and probably true, but variations of it, different types of athletes, you can call different types of plays and run different things and execute differently, and execution's the key. But blending now with Mike Tyson, whatever his background had been with your background, it comes up with something that's clearly a Bears offense.
Well, first of all, I think Coach Tyson's doing a great job. I've learned a lot of football from him. And, you know, I think he's handled the offensive staff real well. You know, the whole staff is contributing, you know, adding their thoughts and their experiences to the game plan. And then Coach Tice, you know, of course, has the final say, but he's overseeing it well, and he's managing it well. And, you know, I'm looking forward to each week.
You know, and this has been something you've been asked about a lot. I'll try to ask it a little differently, but and they bring it up all the time. Brandon's different. Jay's different when you first were with them. So are you, correct? In terms of just more experience, more time with different people.
You know, I think all of us have had our ups and downs. You know, we've had victories, we've had success, we've also had failure and defeat. And I think if you're a man, you know, you take both the good and bad from both those experiences, and you keep growing. So with age and time, I think we've all grown. You know, I'm proud to see Brandon Marshall. I'm proud to see Jay Cutler where they are today. Not saying that I was disappointed with them in Denver at all. I thought they were excellent football players and great people for the community. But, you know, they've definitely kept growing. They're both married now. They're both family men. And, you know, they love the game. They come to work every day. It's pretty easy to coach them right now.
What's your opinion of some of the hits he's taken, not physically but verbally, from Hall of Fame quarterbacks, experts in the field? They've played the game. Thoughts?
You know, it's part of the business. You know, when you have a television show that's on 24 hours a day that deals with football, you know, there's going to be things brought up or mentioned and talked about. That's just part of the world we live in now. You know, we keep everything. I think Coach Smith does a great job of keeping everything in the building. What goes on outside the building, you know, we can't get involved with that. It's a waste of energy. It's a waste of, you know, feelings, really. When we know what's going on in here, we're focused as a team. We're focused as a staff. And, you know, that's what's important to us, that we're doing the right thing as Chicago Bears.
In that room, it's a small room. You have three quarterbacks, one on the practice squad, and Matt Blanchard, and Jason Campbell was there. In your role, not only tutoring and helping them understand the game plan for the given week, but are you also a psychologist, so to speak?
I don't know about that. I think we have, you know, we have Jason Campbell and Jay Cutler who have a ton of knowledge about the game. So, you know, I think we have an open room. You know, I think everyone shares their football knowledge and thoughts. And, you know, I hope Jason and Jay and Matt come in and feel comfortable. as far as just, you know, we don't want to hide anything. We don't want to keep anything to ourselves. We have an open, you know, room policy where what's on your mind, let's go ahead and spit it out and let's get it out into the air and figure out what we need to do about it and move on. But I don't think it's as an extreme as you pointed out, but it's a fun room. You know, there's a lot of history, and you know, we always go back every now and then and look at some of our old footage, so just to see where we were and where we're going.
In terms of that, does Jay throw the ball any differently? Does his footwork look any different now than he did when he was young?
I don't think so now. You know, I think everyone's a little bit different. I know Coach Martz, who I have a lot of respect for, you know, greatest show on turf, and you know, but at the same time, he teaches football a little bit different as far as the, you know, as far as the dropping back and the seven-step dropper. So we changed some things, and it takes time when you do something over and over for 2 years under Coach March's system, and then you change it into our system. You know, it's going to take time, and Jay's worked hard, and he's, you know, in my opinion, getting back to, you know, his Denver form, which, you know, which we coached in Denver and which we're what we're coaching here.
And are those subtle things with footwork in terms of drops?
Yeah, you know, we're just trying to get them back fast, and we have a saying that there's never been a sack when you threw the ball. So we're trying to get the ball out of his hand fast and execute and have explosive plays, and that's what he's doing.
And he's winning despite whatever time it takes to readjust. 23-9 in his last 32 starts. And so, and 9 of his last 10. And in the end, that's really all that matters.
It is. You know, Coach Shanahan used to always say, quarterbacks don't be judged by how many Super Bowls you win. And, of course, that's our goal. That's our focus. One game at a time, of course. But you can't take away Jay's winning, his percentage. And he's a competitor. I think when I was outside of the Chicago Bears facility and coaching with other teams, both USC, Seattle, and last year in Denver, I think the thing that people didn't understand is how competitive he is. And you know, he doesn't show it emotionally, or maybe his body language is not what people want it to be. But when you get to know him as a player, as an NFL player, and get to know him, man, he's competing his tail off. I've seen him make blocks and runs, and you know, he's going to do whatever he can to win the football game. And he's very competitive. And if you look back from the Vandy days to the Denver days to the Chicago days, he's going to find a way to win.
Because of all the big names that you've been around, not to mention your own father and Jim Bates, who, a defensive coach, and his son turned out to be a quarterback and an offensive coach, I'm sure you learned a ton from him.
I did. You know, he's an old school coach, really a lot like Coach Marinelli, where it's all about fundamentals. And, you know, you can never forget about that. And I think as a younger coach, and with all this technology, I still think, you know, that gave me a foundation that at the end of the day, it's still about technique. It's still about running the route correctly. It's still about having the proper footwork in the passing game. And before you get into all the schemes and the chess match, you got to understand your foundation, your foundation's technique.
Is it turned about, I mean, hard in terms of family and your own lifestyle to move and move and move. However, because of the names that you've worked with, from the Jeff Fishers to the Mike Shanahans to the John Grudens to your father and any other influence, I mean, you were with the Browns when Belichick was there. I mean, has that shaped you in terms of all of that knowledge, not to mention what you're learning here?
I think so. Obviously, I started going to training camp when I was 5, and you know, I had one rule. I remember being at Texas Tech, being a ball boy, and my one rule was you're not allowed to talk. So I just sit there and.
That was your rule or Dad's rule?
No, that was my rule. I'd hand him the ball, and I wouldn't say a word. I would observe, and I was very analytical as far as watching great football coaches, and what impressed me most about them. And at the same time, I don't think anybody can be somebody else. I think that's proven over time. You still got to be yourself, but. Man, I've been around some great coaches that you can just kind of take things from, you know, from watching them work, from their teaching, and put it into your philosophy, put it in your personality, and see if it works.
Do you feel for a guy like Jason Campbell, who's had so many offensive coordinators?
Yeah, I think it's tough. Kind of like what we talked about as far as, you know, the more times you're in the system, you know, being in the off season and being able to go back and, you know, oh, let's do this better, or let's throw that out or keep that. you know, that's how you build, and that's how you build an offense. And, you know, when you change every year, it's brand new, and you don't have history, you don't have experience with that play. So it's tough. He's handled it well. I couldn't be more impressed of a guy from what he's gone through, and he just stays positive. He's a great teammate. He's ready to go in at any moment, and I expect big things from him throughout his career.
And lastly, we cannot ignore the local product, Matt Blanchard, because he's just sitting here soaking it all up right now and trying to get better.
He is. He's doing a great job in the classroom. You know, and I'll leave it at that.
All right, very good. Jeremy, thanks for all the time.
Thank you very much.
That's Bears quarterback coach Jeremy Bates. Back with our final segment with head coach Lovie Smith after this break on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM WBBM.
The Bears Insider continues exclusively on the home of the Bears, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM WBBM.
I think I can do everything or more, and hope to get in the backfield, you know, play a little fullback. I haven't done that since college, but it's something I enjoy. So we'll see. I think the Titans here look like they do every position, so it'll be fun.
That is the newest Bear, Brody Eldridge, a former Indianapolis Colt and a former fifth-round pick. Now a Bear on the 53-man roster as the Bears add an extra tight end to the roster as they release veteran running back Khalil Bell. Welcome into Bears Insider, the final segment with head coach Lovie Smith. Again, with you until 8 o'clock tonight. I really enjoyed the conversation, Coach, with Jeremy Bates. And as a young coach, with all that experience, I mean, you can't beat that. Some of the names that you heard me mention, just some of the coaches he's been with and the influence of being a coach's son. And you, with your son on this roster as well, you know that they got to love football. It's like passed down in the family tree. And he clearly loves the game of football.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And, yes, I do know from experience when one of your sons decides to go into coaching, you and – a lot of times you as a father know who the good coaches are, and you want them to influence. What better way to get started, to break into the profession and get a chance to observe great coaches, which Jeremy was able to do.
Now, Mikhail's here obviously helping out in the secondary and an assistant coach. Would you like him to spread his wings a little bit?
Oh, no doubt. I think, you know, it's okay to work, you know, with Dad for a short period of time. And then it's kind of time to move on. So, yeah, we definitely would like for him to, you know, be able to work with some other coaches, too.
Listen to the next Bears All-Access Radio Show brought to you by Sports Authority this Thursday at 6 p.m. on WSCR 670 AM, part of the Chicago Bears network of shows, and Bears Huddle and Bears Blitz brought to you by Jimmy John's. Your chance to catch up on Bears news every Wednesday and Thursday at 4:30 on Comcast Sportsnet Chicago, part of the Chicago Bears network of shows. I don't know that you saw it, but Dan Pompeo of the Tribune wrote an article about the Bears and the Vikings right now being really the only teams that, every team does use cover two, the only primary teams that are still married to that coverage and use it maybe more than any other team. And I thought the reasons that he uncovered were interesting in that it's more about the rules of the game and how defensive backs have to be mindful of where they're hitting a guy and how they hit him, and that maybe teams are laying off that a little bit. That's at least from his insiders and interviews he did throughout the league. I don't know how you feel about that.
I haven't seen the article, but I just know in general, I think cover two is just a good coverage in general. And even though there are only two teams that primarily are probably considered to be cover two teams, I think on any given Sunday, just about probably 100% of the teams, 75% of the teams, yes, that play other, you'll see some form of cover two being run always. It's just that, but I don't think most teams have a belief in it. You run it a little bit, but that's not what you really believe in. But it is different for us. It's not like we're going to change. It's been here since the beginning of time, and there's always a place for it.
Join the Bears for a ladies' night out at Soldier Field on October 29th. Myers Bears Football 101 presented by Chase. Visit ChicagoBears.com to purchase tickets. All right, let's look at the Detroit Lions a little bit. What about that game yesterday raised your eyebrows?
Oh, I think what raised your eyebrows is how they finish. And a lot of things happen. I know they're not satisfied with the amount of penalties they had and some of the things that happened early on, but the way they played in the fourth quarter, fighting through adversity, and then finding a way to get into overtime and then win it.
There's a quote from Marshall Faulk yesterday on NFL Network. He says, Lions quarterback Matthew Stafford, quote, plays his best football when he is behind. That's Marshall's opinion, but are some quarterbacks just wired that way? And do you feel that way about him?
I think he's a good player just in general. I think that's safe to say. When you're the top pick in a draft, normally you're going to be a pretty decent football player. And look at his record, go all the way back to Highland Park, I think, in Dallas where he played at the University of Georgia. I think he's just a good football player.
They got you, Lewis Delmas back at safety, and he, by all accounts, by everybody on that defense, look at him as the leader of their team. Chris Houston mentioned he's our Ray Lewis. Do you sense that when he's on the field, the toughness of Lewis Delmas and inspirational type of playmaker?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, he's a good football player, and he does bring a certain level of intensity to the position. They're a different defense without him. I think they play harder, but it's normally like that. When you have a vocal leader that's a good football player, there's more of a sense of security when you have him on the football field. He's missed a lot of games, but, you know, of course, now that he's back, they're better.
From the Detroit Papers, Cliff Averill, Ndamukong Suh, Nick Fairley, Kyle VandenBosch yesterday, the starters combined for 12 tackles, 7 for losses, 3 sacks, and 11 quarterback hits. That's a pretty good day at the office. How do you look at their defensive line, and do you respect what they do?
Yes, they have a it's documented that they have a good defensive line. They have good talent, high picks, players is making. They're getting paid a lot of money to perform that way, and they come to play. Of course, Sue's a good football player. Cliff Averill is, but all four of them, VandenBosch have been a good player for a long period of time. So, and they play a lot of guys, and they have a similar philosophy with us of as far as how they want to get pressure, and that's more out of their four-man pressure before instead of just having to generate a pass rush with the blitzes.
Usually by the questions you hear on a Monday before a game is kind of the tone for the week, and I think one of the clear tones, and I think every player that was available in the locker room today was asked about it, just the brewing, quote-unquote, bad blood potentially between the two teams. It is division football, but this does feel like the old-school black and blue NFC Central Division right now with all the teams, but maybe more so with the Detroit Lions and just the type of just the style of play, I would say. Would you agree?
I would agree that there's not a whole lot of or there is dislike in the division between all of us. You can go to any of the other three teams, and you know they're not sending Chicago Bears any Christmas cards. We're not sending them any either, but as far as I think it's just good, clean, hard-nosed football. So if you want to say the old blue and black division on that type of play, that's what we're expecting this week.
You are expecting any time you play the Vikings, Packers, and Lions for it to be a physical affair.
No doubt.
And the same for the Bears.
No doubt. We expect and they expect, and I think everyone expects that type of football game. And that's what we've gotten. History has said that's what this football game will be.
Watch Bears Game Night Live, brought to you by Toyota. Sundays at 10:35 on Fox Chicago, part of the Chicago Bears Network. Final moments here with head coach Lovie Smith. What do you remember about last year's games?
Well, I can remember the start, and that's why it's so important that, you know, we've talked an awful lot about our fans on the road, Jeff, the last couple of weeks, and they've really been vocal. But that's one part of it. We have great fans here at Soldier Field. What I remember last year is their fans were really ready for us for the Monday night game that we played up there in Detroit. Really gave them a boost, and we're expecting the same thing. It should be a heck of an environment for, you know, a great game this Monday night.
6 of the next 9, if my math is right, at home for you. Is that a plus right now after what you've endured in the first part of this season so far with a pretty kind of a wacky schedule the way it all broke down and still at 4-1?
First off, I didn't realize that, Jeff. 6 of 9, you know, it's kind of one week at a time for us. But there's no place like home and playing here, so that should definitely be a boost for our team.
And I know you mentioned this in an interview we did last week, and we've done so many, you got to be sick of me by now. But I loved this, what you said about the running game. Yeah, you want to get the running game going. Yes, you mentioned earlier in the show tonight, we come off the bus running the football, and then when we come off the bus, we want to throw it too and get some big plays, explosion plays. But running it because we want to run it, running it because we can. And there is a big difference in that statement, much like a turnover and a takeaway.
Are you there yet? Yeah,
we're getting there. And again, it's still early for everything that we want to do with our football team. But I know that there is a commitment to the run. And, you know, with a running back like Matt Forte, a running back like Michael Bush, and the way our offensive line is coming along, and the threat that we have and how we've been productive with our passing game, we should be able to run the football.
Well, I think it's going to be fun next Monday night. Good luck. Thank you.
Can't wait.
All right, that's Bears head coach Lovie Smith. That's going to wrap up tonight's program. We appreciate all the help we get from our usual helpers on this show, and that includes our producer, Greg Miller, the Bears director of broadcasting, and Steve Ruzanich and Andy Gersher. For Bears head coach Lovie Smith and quarterbacks coach Jeremy Bates, I'm Jeff Joniak. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be with you Monday night from Soldier Field. Check out the pregame at 4:30 kickoff at 7:30. This is WBBM at HD Chicago, WCFS FM and HD1, Elmwood Park, Chicago. Good night, everybody.